Well, once again, it's been quite a week since we last met. The football season ended, and the Super Bowl last weekend. Had a great time, ate a lot of food with good friends, watched the game, enjoyed it. Seemed like to me that, you know, when that kind of happens, enjoy life, and you're reminded of just that God gives us so many good things to enjoy. And then you get back into the routine of life, and you realize that there's tough stuff out there. And most people's lives are that complex mix of moments of joy or happiness or at least fun and some, you know, good times, and but it's punctuated through the difficult times. And life's just sort of this sea that we've got to rock along on. And sometimes the storms are hard and sometimes the waters are calm. But in reality, it's, you know, life is pretty complex. This life that we live, and this week has been full of those kinds of complexities. And you know, it's riding along and just enjoying some things and enjoying being with people this week. And then there's certain things that just grabbed my heart. We had a little boy who has been attending Shining Light. That a lot of some of you, the families that are connected with that, may have heard. This little boy who's been battling cancer passed away yesterday. Little Logan, and people have been praying for him for a long time and for their family. And that, you know, the tragedy of a little one whose body's been going through all that pain and agony, you know, difficulty for those months, passed away yesterday. And that grieving family who's had an amazing courage. Some of you have been following the mother's blogs about all this, and just the one that she put after and reflections in the hours past when he passed away were just heart-wrenching and gripping. And then in the popular world, things like Whitney Houston, passing away yesterday, being found dead in her hotel room after, you know, this skyrocketing career that started in a church choir in Houston, Texas so many years ago and ended with years of battling with addictions and all kinds of things. And you look, she's just sort of this iconic image of what can go wrong and fame and celebrity. And, you know, even at the end of that, you know, there's this sort of a, man, it just, it's tough. And then we talk about, you know, we come in here every Sunday morning, and we meet together, and we sing songs, and we look at God's Word together, and during the week we can meet in other venues. Some of you are involved in small groups, and we get together, and we try to figure this thing called life, what it means to follow Jesus. And we look into God's Word, and He says, asks us to put our eyes on Him, and to follow Him, to hear His voice, and we talk about things that God's called us to do, and how to care for people, and how to share Christ's love, and the need of the world to hear that there's forgiveness of our sins, and healing from our brokenness, and what Christ has done for us. And then we walk out of this room and try to figure out what they do, and we figure out, you know, this is not so easy, is it? It's hard. Because the world is hard and the world is complex. And even when we want to do the right thing, sometimes the right thing is hard. I've been reading a book that was recommended to me. I know some others have read it. It's called Toxic Charity. And it's just been, you know, once again, it talks about even when one of the things it talks about is when, even when we want to do good things, sometimes the good things we want to do don't really help like we want them to help. And then even the things that we do that are good things are in the long run perhaps more harmful than helpful. And I got in the middle of this, and it was a book, and it was very insightful and very helpful, but there's a moment I want to throw up my hands and say, what do you do then? How do you figure this stuff out? Well, what Jesus recommends to us is something that sounds simple, and it almost sounds so simple to me that when I was reading and studying the passage that we're going to look at today, that I went through moments of almost being frustrated and angry at God. It sounds so easy, and yet it's not. And yet the more I'd lived in this and thought about that and asked God, help, what is it you're trying to say to us? I think there's rays of hope and strength and possibility that can lift our spirits and our hearts today while we carry the weight of the complexity of what it really means to authentically and really love Christ with our whole hearts, rely on Him, and live for Him in the world that God's placed us. We're in this series called Your Kingdom Come. The Gospel of Luke, particularly as it is, moves us more and more toward the stories of the cross and the resurrection of Christ, these stories are designed, Jesus is preparing His disciples to live that life of the kingdom. He's announced that the kingdom is present among them. The kingdom of God is at hand, He says to them. And He begins to demonstrate what the true kingdom of God is like with Him as God's Son the Lord, the King, and at the point, and they're learning and they're growing in that, and they're challenging some of the status quo. They're challenging the religious norms. They're challenging concepts that had been passed down through centuries that had been distortions of God's truth. And Jesus wanted to walk in that and say, no, this is what God's really like. This is what we really need in God's grace and forgiveness and transformation, and to live that out in such a way that there's a demonstration of what it means to live with God as opposed to living apart from God. And so the story goes on, and we come to the passage today. I've titled the message An Open Invitation, even though when you read the passage it doesn't sound like that. I believe that there's this amazing thing that God asks us, and I hope that through God's Spirit he'll just grip us today and take us into it. It's a little parable found in Luke chapter 18. It's a short one, old story that at one level it's kind of funny. I think Jesus had a very fine tuned sense of humor, sometimes an ironic sense of humor. And in this little passage, this little parable, I think there's some humor in it, but in it there's a very penetrating look at the life of faith. So I'm going to read the first eight verses, which are this story. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. This is what Luke says this parable is about, to always pray and not lose heart. And Jesus said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the righteous judge says, and will not God give justice to the elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, this is a story of this persistent woman. This woman, it's a simple story. There's a lady who had some way has had some injustice. Someone defrauded her. Someone took something that was her. We don't know exact parts of the case that she's appealing to this judge for, but she's been wronged and she wants justice. So she goes to the judge. Now, it's interesting. Notice how the judge is described in verse 2. Not a very flattering picture. It says, a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Now, what does that mean? He means he doesn't care what anybody thinks of him. He doesn't fear God. He's not worried about what God will think, nor respects man. He doesn't care what the people, he's just sitting up in his place of power as the judge to do what he wants. And he's not worried about anything. No accountability to God, no accountability to others. I just want to do what I want to do. He's very self-absorbed. He's everything you would not want in the judge. And this is the picture. He's about as ornery and self-absorbed as you can have for a judge. Now, contrast that with the woman in verse 3 again. Now, she is described as there was a widow. She's a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, and that word kept coming literally means over and over and over again, kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. No. So the picture is this lady who's been wrong goes to this judge who doesn't care about anybody, and nor God, nor any person. And first of all, he says, no. Not going to give you what you want. I'm not going to resolve this case in your favor. So she comes back again. And evidently he keeps saying, nope. Now, I don't know if she didn't have a good case. I don't know if it was just because he didn't fear God or fear anybody. He just, you know, got up on the wrong side of the bed that morning and decided, I just don't like this lady and I'm not going to decide in her favor. I don't know what the circumstances of that were, but he keeps saying no, but the lady won't give up. This widow keeps coming back. Time and time and time again. And then this self-absorbed judge has, you know what? I'm really being dumb here. I don't care what God thinks, and I don't care this lady is driving me crazy. She just will not give up. So, you know what? Just to shut her up, I am going to give her what she asked for. And so he grants her request, whatever it was, whatever relief she wanted from this situation, from whatever adversary had cheated her out of her money or whatever. He decides once and for all, I've had enough of this lady. She will not give up. She keeps coming. I'm going to give her what she wants. And he does. Now, Jesus tells this story. That's an interesting, there are a lot of interesting elements. Once again, Luke includes a story that Jesus tells that features a woman. There's a pattern in Luke's gospel. Over and over again, he features women in the story. I think Luke, who was traveling, believed to be the only Gentile author in the scriptures, who traveled a lot with the Apostle Paul and had a very eclectic and broad worldview, understood that something unique was happening in the church where women who were often marginalized in society were now giving in the body of Christ, were actually being honored as fellow heirs with Christ. And he carefully chooses a lot of his stories to include women as heroes or protagonists in the story as he tells it. And once again, he does that. It's also true that women had a different kind of a place in the society. If a man had come into the judge, it would have probably degenerated into some kind of shouting match, and it probably would have been more harsh even with the man. With a woman, he just tries to dismiss her. But a lot of times in highly volatile situations, because women weren't considered to be that worthy of special attention, men, the legal ramifications for men were sometimes even more severe. You remember when Jesus goes to the cross, all the men run and hide? We get the story when Jesus, all his disciples go and hide, except for John, who was probably still a teenager and maybe young enough that he wasn't going to. They were all afraid that if they hung out near Jesus at the cross, they were going to get arrested as well. The women had so much fear. They were considered so inconsequential to things that they were just sort of ignored. Well, this widow, probably because she's a woman, doesn't fear that she's going to get thrown in jail for harassing this judge, but finally she wears him down and he gives her what he wants. So this is the picture Jesus creates, an odd little story. Well, what does he mean by it? Well, he compares it, and he talks about the listening God that we had. Now, in verse 6 and 7, he begins to apply it. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" And what Jesus does, he takes the twist and says, listen, in this silly little story that I've told you about a judge who doesn't fear God and doesn't respect people, in this crazy little story, we see that once this lady kept asking and kept asking and kept asking, this guy finally gave in. And if an unrighteous judge finally gives in and grants the request of this widow, don't you think that God, who himself is righteous and a God of justice and a God of love and God of mercy, won't he much more likely grant to those who come to him their justice and answer their prayers and hear them? Wouldn't it be more likely to trust God in that? Because even an unrighteous judge at some point is going to say, okay, I'll give you what you want. And it's this weird twist here that he has and says, God is not like that. Will not God your Father give justice to his people, his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? It echoes a little bit the words that Jesus himself speaks way back in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, where we're told to ask and it'll be given, you know, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open. And then verse 11, he says, "If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Even we as parents want to give gifts, and we're not perfect, but God in heaven, how much more will the Father who's in heaven want to give good gifts to his children? And so in this strange little story, Jesus is trying to point out to us that we have a God who listens, who hears our prayers, hears the cry of our heart. Now, in Luke chapter 18, this story is in an interesting context because in the passage before, Jesus is talking about the end times. He's talking about judgment that's coming down in the future and a time when the Son of Man is going to come again and there's going to be a setting things right. And so the whole context of this is we're waiting for the consummation of the age. We're waiting for Christ to come again. We're waiting for God to truly bring all things right and just together. And so here we are in this waiting time, in this broken world, and our hearts, we're living in this complex world, and we can't figure a lot of things out, and we're hurting sometimes, and we're sort of mixed up sometimes about, God, what are you doing, and why are things like they are? And we cry out to God because we don't know what to do. And the picture here, as we wait for God's justice to happen, when we wait for Christ to come again, in this time where we're waiting for this, when things don't make sense to us, God invites us to pour out our hearts in prayer to Him. He invites us to keep asking and keep asking. And He says, God is not like the unrighteous judge. God listens to our prayers. And the first part of verse 8, not the last part, He says, I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Now here's the problem with that Jesus is going to one day, or is going to answer our prayer speedily. It doesn't look like He does it sometimes, doesn't it? How many of you have prayed for something over and over again? You've asked on behalf of a loved one who's far from God. You've asked for an issue. How the prayers poured out for 18 months for this little boy that passed away yesterday. And some of us have gone through that. Probably all of us at some point, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And we read in the scripture that if we pray that God's going to bring justice to his people, He's going to hear our prayers. And sometimes we throw up our hands and say, where is the God that we're praying to? But God is, Jesus says, a listening God. But then at the very end of verse 8, He throws one last thing to us with this insightful challenge at the end of verse 8, where He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? In an almost whimsical musing at the end of this story, Jesus says, I wonder if the Son of Man will find faith in the earth when He comes. Well, what does He mean by that? I think it's as simple as this. Jesus knows how hard it's going to be for us to trust Him when everything around us doesn't look right, when the prayers aren't answered as speedily as we want, when the things that we'd like to see changed don't change, when we live in a world where it still looks like evil is winning and pain is overwhelming, and just figuring out how to be a good person, follower of Jesus in this world is complex and difficult. I think Jesus is saying, even as He says, you've got a listening God, just keep praying and keep praying, and God loves you and He will hear your prayers and He will support His chosen people and answer their prayers. He knows how hard that's going to be. And so He says, I wonder if anyone's going to make it. Will they trust me to the end? Will I find people who are still hanging on in faith even when they can't see the answers that they long to see? And folks, this is an amazing, important challenge. You talk about the deeper parts of following Christ. This is where the rubber meets the road, because things don't always work out like we want or like we think God ought to make them work out. Life can be hard and can be tough, and following Jesus can be complex. And it can even, as we've seen in so many places and are seeing again in our world today, following Jesus can cost you your life. So where is God in that, we might ask? And yet, Jesus says, God's a listening God. Keep praying, keep praying. But I wonder if I'll find faith on the earth. And I kind of, when I read this is why I said when I read that in the midst of all the things I was, the emotions of this week and the things that were going on, there were the moments when I would go, God, this just, it actually makes me angry a little bit. It seems so easy. It seems what you're saying to me is, hey, sorry things aren't looking like you want, but you just keep trusting me and praying, and you just keep on going, and our hearts are going, yes, but what about this, and what about that? And I long to see this person's life come get through the pain and suffering. I love this person who's far from you to come to faith in you. I love to see this little boy healed or this loved one taken care of, and my heart's just, you know, our hearts are breaking. We're going, where are you, God? And just to simply look at us and say, hey, keep right on praying because I'm listening. And oh, by the way, I wonder if there'll be anybody left faithful when I come again. Just almost, there's a part of me that wants to say, that's cruel, God. How do we process that emotionally? How do we understand what God's calling us to do? And as I began to think about it, what is the picture here that God's given us? What is He calling us to do with the eyes of faith? And as I thought more and more about it, here's the picture that came to mind. When I lived in Europe all those years, one of the things you do when you live in Europe is you go look at churches, cathedrals. They're some of the most majestic things to go in and walk in when you're traveling around Europe. And I had the privilege of seeing lots of them. In downtown Vienna, where we live, the great center of the town is Stephan's Dome, St. Stephen's Cathedral. It's right in the center of the city of Vienna. It's this beautiful, ornate, big church. You could go in there 100 times and never see all the intricacies of the design. Well, the building of that church, when that particular iteration of that church cathedral was starting to be built till the final version of it that we have now, took over 200 years to complete. So I got curious about some of the other greats. I looked up Notre Dame. From the time that was first beginning, the current state of Notre Dame in Paris, it was well over 100 years from the original conception to the building. It would go through several different architects and lots of different artisans, and different parts of it match, and some of the parts don't match, and it just keeps being built. And I looked at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, over almost 300 years of work through 3 or 4 or 5 generations of master architects and countless famous artists that contribute to St. Peter's. And I kept thinking about that. What if you were the guy, you were a stonemason working on one of these great cathedrals, particularly at its inception, and you worked hard every day, and there was a master architect that says this is the plan, and you'd go in every day and you'd work on your stones and you'd build those stones, knowing that you would die before it was ever finished. And I got to thinking about that. Those people were called to get up every day and believe that one day the work that they were doing would produce a finished product that they would never, ever see. And I thought, what an amazing act of integrity and diligence and faith to get up every day and go to work, building and working on those great cathedrals and realizing I am never, ever going to see the finished product. And folks, that's a lot what we do when we're working in God's kingdom. The master architect has called us to be a part of the building of the kingdom that he is building. And maybe some of you are gifted and we're going to be the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And maybe some of us are just going to be carrying boulders to go to the masons to work on. And some of us are going to plant some plants in the garden. And some of us will do this and that. But the truth of it is, most of us are never going to see the building finished. And what Jesus is telling and calling us to trust in, that there's something bigger going on here, a grander plan, a grander thing that God is building than any of us can see in its totality. And he gives us glimpses of it. I can imagine the day when some of those artisans were one that little part where they're working on maybe reaches a place where you can step back and go, wow, this is beginning to look pretty nice. And God in his grace and his goodness toward us gives us those moments, those little windows into his goodness where he lets us see his hand working, and maybe we get to touch a life. And maybe we get to see someone come to Christ, or maybe our own life gets experience some healing, and we realize that in those moments, God's still working. And what he says to us again and again is, we have a listening God. Keep praying. Keep praying. And the God who is the God of the universe hears. He's a listening God who will answer. And sometimes his answers in his loving kindness are no. And sometimes his answers are, you don't get what's going on here, and you're just going to have to trust me because something bigger than you can understand is going on. But the call in the end is to trust in the God who is the grand architect of his kingdom. And that we get to be a part of that sometimes without ever being able to see the big picture of what God is doing. And so here we are. We find ourselves in Valley Community Church in Pleasanton, California in February of 2012. And God says, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to trust me. I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep praying. Keep trusting. I'm building my kingdom. I'm going to give you glimpses of it. Who would have ever known that we'd get to be a part of something strange and wonderful and unpredictable in China with what the doors that are opening up there. That the Chinese government invites Christian people to come train their own psychologists because it works is something that boggles the mind, and doors open. And God says, okay, here, you can get to work on this piece. Maybe it's tough. Maybe we'll never see the results of that, but we keep praying and we keep going. And the lives that are around us that are hurting and the questions that we have, John, just keep praying. Keep trusting me. Keep watching me build my kingdom. And the good news is that one day when all God, Christ does come again, and all of this is brought to conclusion, and the veils are all drawn back, we're all going to get to see the finished product. And it's going to be something amazing. And we're going to get to look back and go, that's the little piece I worked on. Right now, we can't figure that out. And all of this is mystery. But one day, we're going to get to see. And so Jesus says, I wonder when I come back if I'm going to find faith. And so the implication is, we need to be men and women of faith right to the end. Trusting him. Trusting him. So here's what I want us to do. I mean, it's a little bit different if you're our guest here this morning. Or if this is the whole thing makes you a little bit uncomfortable, it's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable sometimes. I think it would be kind of foolish to look at this passage and not pray. So I want us to spend some time in prayer. We won't run around with a microphone, but maybe you've just got something on your heart you want to pray about. Maybe there's a hurt in your life that you want to say, God, I just want to lift it up to you. If you feel comfortable and would pray out loud so that we could join with you, speak as loudly as you can. If you want to pray quietly in your heart, that's okay. But we're just going to go before the Father who says, I'm a listening God. Cry out to me day and night, and I'm hearing, and I'm going to bring justice. I'm going to bring answers. Trust me to the end for the big picture of what I'm doing. And as God puts on your heart, just pray. And after we've had a season or a few moments to pray, and different ones of you can pray, like I said, out loud if you will, then I'll close us in prayer. But the burdens in our heart, God says, just bring them to me. Let's do that together right now, corporately. So let's pray. Lord, our hearts are full of things that we want to bring to you. I pray for little Logan's family. Thank you that he's with you and that his suffering is no more. Bring comfort to his family and strength to them in the days ahead. I pray for everyone in this sanctuary today who's got physical needs that have just been dragging them down, and they've said, Lord, heal me or strengthen me. And God, I pray that you would bring healing. They've been graced to endure. And Lord, we walk, there's heavy hearts from loved ones that are living far from you, relationships that have been broken, that we want so badly to be healed and restored, and maybe we don't even know what to do. Lord, we cry out for wisdom, for mercy, for grace. Lord, in the world in which we live, there are people all around us who are living far from you and have no idea the spiritual danger they're in. We pray that we could extend the love of Christ, the message of your holiness and righteousness and your salvation in Christ, that there's forgiveness and healing and real life to be found in you. And Lord, when we think about the difficulties, that when we want to be to help with the problems and the injustices of this world, and it's complex and hard to even know what the right thing to do is, Lord, I pray that you would help us to not be paralyzed by the fact that it's hard, but we just would trust you and hear your voice and obey you and care and stand for what is holy and righteous and just and care for those who need your care and challenge that which needs to be challenged in your name. But God, even then we just, in humility, just say, Lord, you've got to lead us and you've got to give us the words and the strength. And Lord, we are thankful that one day we're going to see the whole thing, the whole building. And as we wait for the day when we're going to understand all that you are doing and the greatness of your kingdom and what real justice and righteousness and holiness means and salvation, and it's all done, and you let us get a glimpse fully and completely of your glory, I pray in light of that hope that you would help us today to just to keep being faithful on the little part that you've given us to do. That we do it with faith and courage and perseverance and trust in you. So Lord, help us to remember that you're enough. Jesus, you're enough. And we're going to trust you as we go forward, to believe that you've given us everything that we need, that you are strengthening us in ways that we can't imagine, that you're calling us to do work that matters. And so you indeed, Lord, are enough. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.